Hello, and welcome to the Magical Learning Podcast for this week. This week we talk about flow states and how to find them. This was a great chat, and we ended up having a lot of great, interesting discussions outside of the normal three questions. So if you're interested in flow states and want to learn a little bit more about them, as well as how we personally find them, then enjoy this episode. And as always, have a magical week. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Magical Learning Podcast for this week. I hope you're doing well. We've got a team on today, and you may recognize some familiar clothes, potentially, because this is our second podcast we're recording today. This one will be released a couple of weeks from now, so if you're listening to this, it was on the same day that we did our interview with Stu Saunders. So anyway, we had a big podcast day, and that means that you get a lot of podcasts, so it's pretty cool. awesome. Well, today we're going to be talking about flow states, which is pretty exciting. But before we get into that, let's see how everyone is doing today. Al, how are you going today?
I'm going great, thanks, Jez. You know, after our podcast this morning with Stu, I've been practicing being kind, which is working really well.
Yeah, great takeaway from that one. Love that, Al. That's awesome. Graham, how have you been this morning?
Yeah, I'm great. Thanks, Jess. Been a long time since we've been on a podcast, so excited for this one as well. Thank you.
That's all right. That's good. That's good. Danette, how are you going today?
Yeah, straight after the last podcast, Liv rang us back and we spent some time talking to Miller, who, for those who don't know, who is our nearly three-year-old granddaughter. So I went outside with the phone and showed her the iris that is blooming in the middle of winter. And we had a look at a few things in the garden and it was stunning outside. So it was gorgeous. Thanks, Jess.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's fun. And for those that want to see, at the end of our Stu Saunders episode, Miller pops in briefly as a visual cameo on Liv's screen. So if you want to catch up with Miller there. And also, John, how are you going?
Good, Jez. Didn't get a nap, unlike yourself, but, you know, soldiering on for the day.
Look, you know, there's a similarity between flow states and napping at some point, so I feel like I was just doing research, actually, for the podcast.
Is that what you call it?
Yeah. Awesome. Well, before we get into the topic today, Al, you are doing our ML recommendation. So, what have you got for us?
This week, Jez, I've been doing some research on YouTube as I was lying in bed this morning as well, and I've discovered cinema therapy, which is two guys. One is a family therapist, and the other is something like a cinema photographer, and they watch all sorts of different movies and break down what's going on for the individual characters. And it's a great way, I find, to deal with the stuff in our own lives while watching a movie, and we can see what's going on for the characters, which is often a lot easier to digest. And some of the movies they've done even go back as far as Mad Max with PTSD, through to the Hulk with anger management, all the way through to Frozen, where guys can learn how to meet a girl's needs, which Sven models beautifully for us. And I remember him coming in and saying, "I'm here for you. What do you need?"
That's amazing, Al. That was our ML recommendation. And Al, I can't wait to check that out. That sounds really fun. I love that whole side of things. So I guess it's like, not only do you get to learn more about these movies, but you get to learn about the art form and you get to learn about life lessons, it sounds like.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, that sounds great. Well, you can check out the description of this podcast to go find out a bit more about that. That's really exciting. Thanks for that, Al. Awesome. Well, today we're going to be talking about flow states and how to find them. The reason I picked this topic is it's something that I am totally fascinated by, and I think it's something that's come up a bit more recently as something that is a positive, and I think we're starting to understand it a little bit more. And for people that don't know what flow states are, we'll be getting into that as well. But hopefully if you've come to this and you're wanting to learn a little bit more about it, not only are we going to discuss it, but we're also going to talk about how we get into flow states. So hopefully you can get into flow states a bit more. So I might start today with you, Al. What are flow states for you, / what do they mean to you?
For me, Jez, it's when time seems to stand still. And I'm not sure if anyone else relates to this, but to me, meals are quite an important part of the day. And when I'm not in flow, by 11 o'clock, I'm looking for lunch. And I noticed the other day I was doing something and it was 3 o'clock before I even thought about lunch. And I thought, yeah, this is something that, you know, clearly I am very passionate about. And that was when I sort of would say that I was in flow.
Right, right. That's so cool. That, and I think that's a great little litmus test there, that one, the hunger one. I haven't thought about that before, but I love that. It's a good one. Graham, what are flow states for you / what do they mean to you?
Once upon a time, I thought flow states were, you know, being in flow was what I probably now today understand is more like vegging. So the idea of the other thing that came to mind with flow states and this idea of time standing still, you know, like time stops, because I've experienced that, and then I realized the battery in my watch was flat. So anyway. Yeah, we can edit that out, Jez, can't we? In post, we can edit that out. A couple of things that resonate for me around flow today is productivity. I have to admit, I still struggle with this idea of hyper-productivity, but that's one of the things that can come out of being in the flow state. It seems whatever it is that we're concentrating and focusing on seems to be sort of effortless. But I'm probably more interested in the mental and physical benefits of being in a flow state more of the time. Because one of the other beautiful things that comes out of it is when you start to lose your sense of self. So it feels like you are just part of something way, way bigger. So one example for me would be we ran a podcast a few weeks ago talking about awe and experiencing awe. And for me, that's one of the things that can trigger the flow state. Sitting in the spa up the back under a moonless night sky and watching a, shooting star. It's Friday. I have to use my big words. Watching a shooting star just go across the sky for 6 or 7 seconds. Anyway, I'll leave it there. That was a very concise and well-articulated answer. I'm clearly not in the flow state at the moment.
Or maybe you are, Graham, and it's that the time is shrinking for you, you know. So
we can only hope. So no, people listening to my answer are thinking, can we shrink time now?
No, awesome. Thanks for that, Graham. That's a great one. And I think also what you kind of brought up there, I typically think of flow states as doing something, but I like that idea of it's also, it can be sort of where you can just be observing something. So that's cool as well. Danette, what are flow states for you / what do they mean to you?
So for me, I call it being in the zone. So I'm just, everything, as everyone said, is effortless. It just happens. And I'm reminded of something that we learned at one of Robin Sharma's conferences, which is the beautiful thing about flow is that our inner critic stops. So it shuts down. And so I think that also helps us then bring, if we're doing something, and I agree with Graham's, it can also be just being, but if we're doing something, it allows us to bring out our best potential because we don't have that noise going on in our brain.
Yeah, I like that that as well. It's another aspect to it. So cool. And John, what are flow states for you and / what do they mean for you?
So again, not much different to anyone else, what anyone else has said. And to me, it's, as Danette said, it's in the zone is what I would term it as opposed to I'm in a flow. But there's a sense of, at some point towards the end or coming out of it, there's a sense of satisfaction and reward. And it's an intrinsic value. It's not a external thing that's put on us. It's just something within us that, I don't know, you get some satisfaction and reward, happiness out of, where all the pieces come together and suddenly, you know, you can't put a foot wrong. Or you're sitting around and you're just enjoying what's happening around you. There have been times where I've sat out, you know, I've been in a group environment and I've actually sat out just to watch the dynamics of what was going on, and sitting there for, you know, half an hour before someone picks you up and calls you out and go, oh, sorry. Yeah, just enjoy whatever's happening around you or what you're doing.
Yeah, and I think also, John, that's kind of also brought up another point that for me, sometimes it's also, it can almost put me in that sort of flow state watching other people that are in that state. Because it's just so fascinating to see someone that's really sort of, I don't know, at the top of their game, but in living like at a very present level. It's very interesting.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Watching other people, you know, going to the ballet and watching the performers there who are at the top of their game or going to the basketball or the footy or whatever. And it's just amazing. They just seem to float across the stage or across the court. You know, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I might stay with you there, John, for the question, what do you personally do to get into a flow state?
For me, it's exercise. There are two things. Exercise would be one of them, that just the enjoyment of working hard. And flow doesn't mean that you're not working hard. You know, yes, it's something that is effortless, but it's not like beating a three-year-old at tennis or a three-year-old at basketball. You know, it's not that effortless. You've still got to put in effort, but you make it look easy, I guess. Or you come out and it's been hard work, but it's such enjoyable thing. So exercise for me. The other one is stuff around the house. So at the moment I'm sanding back our pergolas out the back, and it's a hell of a lot of work, a lot of dust, blah, blah, blah. But just, you know, I look at the wood underneath what was originally painted and just go, wow, that's cool. And time flies, music in and away I go. So they're two things for me.
Mm, yeah, I love that. And it's having chores as part of it is so interesting. I didn't think of that, but I love that, John. That's awesome. Danette, I'll go to you. What do you personally do to get into a flow state?
So if it's because I want to create something, so perhaps write something, for me, it's getting up really early because I wake up and then my brain is just in that space. So I remember when we used to be a registered training organisation, I would get up Monday morning at 4 a.m. and by 8:30 a.m. I'd written the course notes. And like for me, that was just effortless and it was just this beautiful thing. Two other things I love to do. So when I'm in that zone, when I'm presenting, it's like stuff comes through you that is like wisdom from elsewhere, I always say. And I always know at the end of it because there's lots of smiles, people have learned things and stuff like that. So I love that state when I'm presenting. It doesn't always happen, but when it does, it's gorgeous. And the other one I absolutely love is just to go wandering around our farm. So, you know, whether it's by myself or with Graham and, you know, probably 10, 15, 20 minutes in, just the brain starts to really come up with fabulous ideas and life is just, yeah, it makes you focus on what's amazing and magical around you as well as coming up with great ideas. So they're my three.
Yeah, that's a good one. I like that you also described kind of what it feels like afterwards as well. That's so fascinating because it does have that sort of opposite of a hangover, I feel like, effect, you know. Anyway, that's a great one. Thanks, Danette. Graham, I'll throw to you. What do you personally do to get into a flow state?
I'm just curious as to whether the flow state created the hangover, Jez. But perhaps we should move on. One of the things I have realised in just sort of thinking about this topic for today's podcast is it's been a while since I've been in the flow state, and not surprisingly, because I have allowed myself to be distracted a lot of the time by a whole bunch of things, and distraction is it's one of the things that kills the flow state straight up. One of the things that came to mind a minute ago, bizarrely, is painting, but not painting artistically, because I'm reasonably sure I am not very good at that, but painting houses. Just bizarrely, I, a couple of my brothers build houses, and you know, you do the family thing and you get in and you help, probably not so much in the construction, but certainly I can remember helping paint the inside of houses. And if you look at all of the seven or eight elements or conditions required to get into a flow state, it's sort of got all of them. There's clear goals, we want to paint the house, intense concentration because you don't want to stuff up. Because you're sister-in-law is standing in the background watching with an eagle eye sort of thing. You know, immediate feedback because it looks good and all of those sorts of things. So, yeah, weirdly, painting and no, Danette, it's not right now. No, but thanks for asking. Is one of the things that's got me into the flow state before. The other thing is playing guitar. But again, I remember watching a video from Stephen Kotler, who's done a massive amount of research on the flow state, and he was saying that one of the important things if you want to get yourself into flow is to sort of pre-manage distractions. So think about what are some of the things that might distract you before you want to get into a flow state and deal with those beforehand rather than trying to deal with them whilst you're either in the flow state or trying to get into it. So for me, the distraction thing is just if I'm going to play the guitar and enjoy it, then it's just getting rid of everything else. So putting my phone away, you know, making sure that I've got half hour, 45 minutes to an hour at least, where I'm not going to have any interruptions. Just that sort of stuff.
And you kind of, you mentioned that there was sort of seven signs or something there. Did you? Or...
Oh, the scientist who's often referred to as the godfather of flow research was Mihai Csikszentmihalyi, and no, I can't spell it. So back in the 70s, 80s and 90s, he was prolific in terms of research around flow. He traveled the globe. He interviewed like over 8,000 people, Buddhist monks, blind nuns, just people from all walks of life. It's absolutely incredible. And he came up with these eight conditions. So it was things like having clear goals, getting immediate feedback. So whatever it is that you're doing, that there is some immediate feedback there that it's either working or not working. There's got to be a balance between your capability and the challenge for whatever you're doing. So if it's going back to John's point about it being too easy, by the way, I have been beaten at basketball by a three-year-old John. Thanks very much for making me feel good. She was exceptionally good. What can I say? So there's got to be a balance between your skill level in whatever you're doing and the challenge. And generally, the science is saying that the challenge needs to be just that little bit better, that just that little bit above your skill level. Concentration. So again, yeah, no distractions. That deep concentration, getting really, really digging into the task, being in the present, which you mentioned a moment ago, Jez. Having a sense of control over yourself and the task or the work that you're doing. The time slowing down, time disappearing, time stopping thing is really, really common. And the last one he talked about was sort of the ego disappearing. So we tend to become far less aware of ourselves as a separate entity and we become much more, have a sense that we are part of, again, of something much, much bigger. Steve Kotler talked about surfers talking about being one with the wave and mountain climbers or rock climbers being one with the mountain sort of thing. So, yeah.
Yeah. That, thanks so much for that, Graham. That was a perfect little sum up of what we're trying to do as well here.
I was in the flow because I was talking.
That's it. So that was perfect. Yeah, thank you so much for that, Graham. Al, I'll throw to you. What do you personally do to get into a flow state?
A bit like Graham there, Jez, I'm realising it's something I haven't been doing much lately, but it has kind of been happening. It's when I go out on the water. And again, like Graham was saying there, it's not just flat water. I like sort of going into the surf where there's waves, and I guess it keeps my mind focused on what is going on, because if I'm not focused, a wave's going to sneak up and get me, and I don't have time to be worried about all those other things that I could normally be stressing about. So yeah, for me, it's I just love being out on the water.
Yeah, that's a great one, Al. One thing that comes to mind for me, like I love playing basketball and that puts me in a flow state, but I've also found that I can more recently I've been able to refine that even a little bit more, because sometimes when I play basketball, if I'm getting competitive, It's good for me. I can feel the adrenaline pumping, so I can get a little bit faster and whatever. But I've now even been able to, and that's still sort of in flow because I guess the adrenaline's kind of going, so I'm like not thinking about anything else. But now I'm even trying to like knock that part out, so it's just even just calmness, you know, which is kind of weird because you have to be present. But every time I notice it, I'm starting to feel like extra intense. I try and like even just take it a bit more easy than that. Cool.
Jez, is that part of, like, Graham, you were talking about pre-managed distractions and for guitar playing, remove your phone, you know, go to the bathroom, whatever those distractions are. But in a competitive sense, is pre-managing distractions the understanding that the other team is there to put you off your game or your team is going to make mistakes and getting into the mindset that whatever they do is what they do. And that is, you know, you can only control what you do, and therefore that becomes your focus with you and your team. Let the other distraction of the opposition worry about itself. Yep. I mean, is that part of it?
I suspect it is. I think that it's that balance between being in the present and that deep concentration is to some extent blocking out all of the external things around you. And you know, the cliche about focusing on your own game to a large extent. And if you, because originally I think about sports people like Federer in his heyday. I used to watch the guy play and just, you know, you would just marvel at what he was capable of doing. But, and to some extent, I mean, all of the top sports players in their sort of genres are, in their particular fields are all capable of just getting into that flow state where they don't think. Yeah. I'm assuming they don't think as much about what the other person is doing. They tend to focus a lot more on where they want to go with it. Yeah.
And so does that mean, and this is something I found when I got into the flow state, when I was writing, when we were running all the diplomas and stuff, is that that practice, so that continual practice, so that, you know, and you see some of them, you know, tennis players do particular moves before they do a serve, for argument's sake. But that short little thing they do before they take the serve or they throw the ball or whatever in basketball is a reset to go, okay, get back to that beautiful calm space. Because, Jez, that distinction about you feel the adrenaline and stuff, but then you're like, okay, I need to come back that calm. If you look at the greats, they've practiced lots, so they sort of know what that state feels like. But that calm bit's super important because without that, this part of the brain, and particularly the fight or flight part, starts kicking off, and that takes us out of flow. I'm loving this discussion, by the way. This is awesome.
Well, it sort of leads into what we talked about this morning too. And are you prepared to do the hard work rather than just accept, oh, look, I'm going to walk out here and get straight into a flow state. Mm. And it's like, no, there's work that's got to go on, whether it's the practice ahead of time to get the skill set to be able to know that you're good enough to win or to do what it, you know, play the guitar. Because if I picked up a guitar, yeah, that'd be like screaming cats. But obviously, Graham, you've got the skill set to be able to do
that. You've heard me play then, John. Yeah.
Yeah, I have. And you've got the skill set to be able to do that. So, but that's taken hard work to get there. So, you know, none of this is just a, you know, switch the light on and flow comes.
Yeah.
It's, you know, there is work in the background to be able to do it. And sometimes you're very lucky that, you know, I'll go out and sand, you know, these beams and it'll take me ages and I just couldn't be bothered. Other times it's great, but I'm not on the sander 7 days a week. Yeah, there is work in that background, and how hard are you prepared to work to get to where you want to be, to get good enough to be, you know, in a competitive sense, seen as that master of your talent.
Yeah. Yeah, I wonder, just picking up on that point, John, whether, because I sort of land on one of the conditions that Mihai Csikszentmihalyi talked about for being in a flow state was where there's a, that sort of balance between your skill level in a particular field and the challenge itself. So is it then potentially it's possible for somebody who is a beginner to get into a flow state as long as the challenge is a little bit better than where their skill level, if all of the other conditions sort of exist?
Yep.
I agree 100%. You know, if you don't want to do the work and sitting on your backside thinking about it doesn't get you into a flow state, I don't think. But I guess it's a good thing. You know, you don't have to be or want to be as good as a Federer or anybody else for that matter to be able to get into the flow state, as long as the challenge is a little bit better than where you are at the moment. Yeah. And just talking about guitar, I was just thinking about Tommy Emmanuel and watching him play pretty much anything. But there's a video of him on YouTube playing Mason Williams' song Classical Gas. And apart from the fact that his skill level's off the charts, I mean, I still don't understand how he does it with only two hands, but it's just a beautiful example of someone who gets into flow in the space of 15 seconds and just blitzes it.
Yeah. But then, as you said, you've got those people that play guitar just for relaxation or play park football or, you know, they're never going to play represent at the highest levels.
Yep.
But for what they're doing, they can get into that flow state. But again, you know, they've got to have done something beforehand to be able to have some sort of skill in the game.
Yes.
To know what they're doing.
Yep.
Sorry, Jess.
Yeah, no, I mean, this is all so fascinating. It's an interesting hypothetical kind of thing that you sort of put out there. That's the, you know, if you are a beginner, you can potentially get into a flow state. And I think that you're right. I hadn't thought about that either, because I typically think of it as something that you spend a lot of time on. And then you're just given, then whenever you kind of pick it up, you're like, okay, I'm about where I need to be for this challenge. It is fascinating. And I guess the other thing that I was just going to say with it is with the adrenaline thing that I used, which also does feel, it feels like flow, but now I feel like it's now a lever I can just pull if I need to, you know, which I think is like another thing. It's like, you know, there's... Now I don't need to pull that all the time. I always used to just stick, you know, the gas on 100%. Now I can just kind of like, if I need to, I'll touch it, but mostly I'll just leave it. But yeah, it also, I guess, is sort of inspiring me to try new things. Because I also agree, Graham, like when you're talking about trying new things, even when I just try painting sometimes, and I'm not a good painter, that also can just put you in a flow state, even though it's not something I do, you know, I probably don't do it more than, you know, once every 2 years, but it's still, if you have the hour and a half to do it or whatever, you can really find yourself very present. Yeah.
And your mum's probably going to hijack you to come up here and paint the house too, just saying.
Yeah. All right. Well, yeah, thanks for that, everybody. That was a great little chat there. All right, well, Al, I might throw the final question to you. How can we make flow states a more common part of our lives?
I'm thinking letting go, Jez, and probably in two respects. The first one coming up to me is letting go of all the stories in my head, letting go of the ego, and just like when I'm on the water, focusing on the wave, not wondering what somebody else is thinking about what I'm doing out there, whether I'm doing it right. All those stories just disappear. And the second one would be letting go of, I guess, other chores or other things in life that don't really matter. And yeah, just focusing on those things that are important to us, letting go of the bottom 20%.
That's great. And I think, we would definitely, I think we'd all improve if we did that. So thanks for that, Al. That's a great answer there. Graham, how can we make flow states a more common part of our lives?
Well, I think for a lot of us, it's part of it's probably just education and understanding, again, what being in a flow state actually means. I like Al's point about just letting go. So just dropping the ego and not worrying about what other people are thinking. And for me, the biggie, because I've experienced this so much in the last couple of years, is just distraction. So it's making a commitment to spending 60 to 90 minutes in deep, intense concentration on an activity, whether it's work-related or not, doesn't matter. I don't think it's really that important whether it's work-related or not, but it's just committing to not being distracted by anything, and recognizing that if I can't get that right, then flow is not going to happen.
And that's a great point, which is becoming a little bit harder, but I think it's a great point to try and make it a focus, you know, and then that can help you out. So thanks for that, Graham. Danette, how can we make flow states a more common part of our lives?
So I think for me, it's slowing down. It's creating space in my calendar to have that time. So I've been talking to a lot of people and they're all, you know, stressed and their resilience is low, and they talk about the back-to-back meetings and stuff like that. That's not a space. And they're sort of like the distractions Graham was talking about. So it's creating that environment that allows the space to be able to do that. And I remember one great tip that Robin Sharman talked about in this, and I'm going to do the visual, is instead of using your phone for an alarm. So if you say, I'm going to do something for 45 minutes, I want to get into flow for 45 minutes, have an actual clock versus your phone. Because if your phone's in the room, there's that temptation. Or if something blips up because you've got notifications on, et cetera, it just distracts you. The other thing I'd say for me, I certainly know it's, there's times when my body finds it way easier. So for me, because I'm a morning person, the time between 4 to 8:30 a.m. is my jam time. Like, it's just, for me, works beautifully. Now, there'll be people listening on the podcast who are like, no way. And I respect that. So what I would say is know when your body is in that beautiful peak space and create that time then, because then you're working with your brain and your body. So they're some of my suggestions. Great question, Jez.
Yeah, I love that. And I think that scheduling part of it, when you are listening to your body to do that at its best, I think is a great call. So thanks for that, Danette. And John, how can we make flow states a more common part of our lives?
I think most people have covered it, but when you do get it, when you go through a flow and you recognize that that's what you've been in, celebrate that. Because the more you celebrate things, the more you're going to want to do them. There's that reward, that intrinsic reward that comes out of it. That to me is just it's a simple thing. But back to Al's point, don't let the stories in your head dictate what you can and can't do. The more you can shut down that inner voice to say, I can't, the more you're going to try things. And who knows, you could surprise yourself with what, the abilities that you do have. Whether you think you can or you think you can't, you will. From Henry Ford.
Yeah, and I think that's a great way to put it there, John. Thank you for that. I also was just thinking in terms of if your phone's in the room and it's distracting, one technique that I've used pretty effectively is that for all your social media apps, I know for some people it's email, so that this doesn't apply for that. But for social media, you can just delete them every time you've finished using them for that time, because then it creates an inconvenience to use it again, which sometimes can be the difference between using it and not using it. So that has worked for me in the past. And another thing that I just wanted to sort of touch on, I guess, was a lot of the times that we're going to get better at things are going to happen usually when we're bored, because then we just find something that we want to do that isn't, the most convenient thing. And sometimes that's playing guitar, sometimes that's basketball, sometimes that's, doing ballet, anything like that. And I think coming back to the conversation we had with Stu a couple of weeks ago, when he was talking about the Lego and when, I think that was you, Danette, you were talking about the Lego and the kids and they're not sure what to do with it. That to me is just like, if they could allow themselves to get bored, then they would have the skills to go, okay, this is going to be really fun. But I think a lack of being bored makes Lego boring, it's not a high enough threshold of entertainment. Anyway, just wrapping up, John, I might start with you. Any final thoughts on flow states and how to find them?
Start with finding things that you enjoy.
Cool, perfect. Thanks, John, short and sweet. Danette, final thoughts on flow states and how to find them?
So I've got a quote from a gentleman called Leon Brown. It says, "You must let life flow naturally, for life's secret is patience. You must stop pushing for change and allow things to unfold." And so I love that idea about letting kids get bored, letting adults get bored, to then, go, okay, what can I try? What can I do? And it's about often stopping, slowing down, rather than trying to jam so much into a day. So if you're ticking boxes to get through your day, I suspect it's going to be really difficult to find flow.
That's probably a good way to look at it. Thanks for that, Danette. Graham, what are your final thoughts on flow states and how to find them?
I think if I can borrow from both John and Alan, I like John's idea of just start with something that you enjoy, because there's, you know, motivation's important in that sense. So if you already enjoy it, it's more likely that you're going to do it. But I also love the idea of pausing to reflect and celebrating afterwards. I think massively, massively important.
Yeah, I love that. And yeah, I think that's the classic Danette party dance is always a good one to use as a celebration. So definitely.
And you can do it. For those of you in the Northern Hemisphere, it's okay if you go anti-clockwise instead of clockwise. It'll still work.
That's it. Thank you for that, Graham. And Al, final thoughts on flow states and how to find them.
Yeah, I love the idea of doing something that we enjoy. And the one piece I've got to add to that is to give ourselves permission. Kind of like what Danette said, make the time. Don't worry about what somebody else is thinking. It's okay to do what we want to do.
Awesome. Well, that's a great final note for this podcast. Thank you all so much for doing this podcast today. We've had quite an intensive podcast schedule, but everyone's been awesome on all of them. So I want to thank everybody for that. For everybody that's listening at home and loving it, we are really loving you guys listening and supporting the show. And as always, have a magical week.